Our reading this morning is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, reading verses 8 to 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about, what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is the word of the Lord.
Yeah, thanks, Liz. Right, so this whole Christmas story thing, you know, it was all prophesied. It was all mapped out, like centuries before it ever actually happened, before these events came to pass. Even the geography, even where it would happen was important. Remember this, this should be Micah chapter 5 verse 2. Bethlehem, Bethlehem Ephrathah, you are small among the clans of Judah, but out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Bethlehem, it's going to happen at Bethlehem. And I don't know if you're the kind of person who, like, reads commentaries and books about, like, what the passages of the Bible mean and stuff. But if you do, then you're going to know that there has been huge amounts of ink spilled over the fact that this happens in Bethlehem. And the fact that these angels that we've just heard about appear to the shepherds who are watching their sheep on the hills outside of Bethlehem. Why does the angels appear to the shepherds? This is the question that has plagued so many of the scholars and the students of the Bible. And for some people have come down to, on the answer that it's because Jesus is like a descendant of David, and you know, David was born at Bethlehem, and you know, so this is the Lord's promising David, King David, that he's going to raise up from his family tree, from his offspring, his own flesh and blood, the King, the Ancient of Days, the great King, whose throne will be established forever. So maybe that's why it all happens at Bethlehem. Maybe that's why the angels appear to these shepherds on the hills outside of Bethlehem, because that's where David grew up. Maybe it's a kind of nostalgia thing. I don't know. Maybe. Sometimes people think, well, it was to do with the fact that they were shepherds, yeah? So there's this old prophecy from the writings of Ezekiel, which saying, look, the religious leaders of the day, of Ezekiel's day, were rubbish. They weren't teaching the Bible. They weren't pointing people towards Jesus. They weren't caring for people. And so the sovereign Lord says, "Woe to you!" And he calls these religious leaders shepherds of Israel. You only take care of yourselves. Should not the shepherds take care of the flock? This is what the sovereign Lord says. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. So, you know, the Lord said, like, I will come and I will be the good shepherd. So maybe that's why the angels appear to the shepherds. Because it's like, oh, that's what Jesus is going to be. He's going to be the good shepherd. I don't know, maybe, yeah, probably, something of that in there as well. Other people come up with other ideas, like, you know, apparently shepherds was like, it's like the worst job of the day. And it's like, this is God's way of saying, you know, what I'm doing here, this is open to everybody. You know, nobody is too far gone to be caught up in the work that I am doing. I don't know, maybe it's some of all of that. Maybe that's why the angels appear to the shepherds. But I came to a conclusion myself. I'll throw this out for you. You can see what you think of it. A few years ago, that actually, it's not really about the shepherds. It's actually not really about the shepherds. This whole angels appearing and declaring the praise of God and stuff, it's not actually about the shepherds. It's about the sheep. It's about the sheep. Okay? And this is where geography matters. This is why it matters that it was Bethlehem that this was all going to happen in. Here's a map of Israel. And I just want you to notice very, very, very briefly here how close Bethlehem is to Jerusalem. Bethlehem's basically, it's a bit like Kesgrave to Ipswich. It's that kind of thing. You can walk it in less than an hour from Bethlehem to Jerusalem. All right, and that matters because the hills outside of Bethlehem are, in fact, actually then, the hills outside of Jerusalem. All right, yeah, you see, you're with me. Okay, so Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is the center of the life of the ancient church. And at the center of Jerusalem was the temple. And at the center of the life and the worship of the temple was the altar. The altar. And every day, every single day, hundreds, if not thousands of sheep were needed for people to bring as sacrifice. As sacrifice for their sin. Can you imagine the industry that grew up around this, making sure that there were hundreds, if not thousands of sheep available day after day after day after day so that people could use them to offer a sacrifice for their sin. And so that for miles around Jerusalem, the hillsides were covered with sheep who were being cared for and looked after and reared, not for Sunday lunches, not for their wool, but they were being born and bred for one purpose and one purpose only. And it was to be offered as a sacrifice for the sins of the people. To die as a sacrifice or sin. And I've wondered now for a few years whether this is why the angels appear over the hillsides and declare these things to the shepherds. The heavens are torn apart. The armies of heaven burst forth declaring glory to God in the highest because Jesus has just been born in Bethlehem. And everything about this situation speaks to the fact that Jesus has come to be the sacrifice for the sins of the people. When John the Baptist first met Jesus, they were in the wombs of their mothers, remember? But outside of their wombs, when John the Baptist first saw Jesus, it's interesting, the first thing he says when he sees Jesus coming to be baptized by him, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Here is the one who has been born and who has been reared for one purpose. And it is to die as the sacrifice for the sins of the people. Remember, the angel's words to Joseph, you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. See, every time one of those sheep was taken to the altar to be sacrificed, people knew this wasn't really dealing with their sin. People knew that. I think sometimes we think they weren't very smart. No, they understood this stuff before Jesus came. But they understood that it was impossible for the blood of animal sacrifices to take away sin. They understood that this lamb that they were bringing to be sacrificed was pointing beyond itself to the Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world. And this is, every time they came, they offered a lamb, and it's almost like they looked up to see, where was the Lamb? Where was the Lamb of God who can actually deal with my sin? This is just a picture. This is just a drama. I understand that. But where is the Lamb who will take away my sin, who will deal with my sin? And the angels appear that night over the hillside of Bethlehem. He's here, and he's in Bethlehem. The Lamb of God that can take away your sin is in Bethlehem, lying in a manger. It takes something far more than the blood of bulls and goats to take away our sin. It takes the blood of God. I don't know if you've ever seen a film of an atom being split. The tremendous power that is released as the atom is split. Imagine the power that is released when the being of God, the Trinity, is split. Sometimes people have this really bizarre, it's a kind of pride in a way, where they think, I hear what you're saying about this forgiveness thing, but God could never forgive my sin. God could never deal with my sin. And I'm like, I just don't think you really understand what you're talking about, mate. Because when Jesus comes to be the sacrifice for sin, when he comes as a human being, so that he can die, bearing the sin of the world, the Father turns his face away. It's like the life, the being of God is split. And tremendous, tremendous, cosmic, limitless spiritual power is released that can deal with anything. Anything that we have done. Whatever it is that we have buried, whatever we are so deeply ashamed of, whatever we are so afraid that people might find out, it can be dealt with by the Lamb of God who has come to bear the sin of the world. So that whatever it is doesn't have to define us, and it doesn't have to define our relationship with God. Because it is God from God. Light from light. True God from true God. Who has come down from heaven. Who was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary. And who was made man. So that he could die to deal with our sin. That is why, year after year, we gather at the manger in Bethlehem. And adore the child who lies there.